your dreams at night and feel inspired to assign me up to the front line. We'll give the order, you'll storm the border without me. If they tell you you're a genius but you need some proof, ask anybody on the payroll to go out with you. If they avoid you, then they'll award you definitely. Nobody that's around you seems to get it right. How hard is it to follow just a few guidelines and smile while you do it? If you want a page written about you in the book, but you need a food tester 'cause you curse the cook, I'll take some wine, but you can dine without me. Without me, who would let you play God and make believe that all the blasphemy is coming only from me? I can occupy the queen, but that's for her and I can do her, and you'll be ruler without me. You can do it without me.
Good morning. You are listening to Sup World Radio. It is Tuesday, September the 25th at 10:38 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You just heard from Father John Misty, and that song, I forgot that song. Oh, no, it's called You Can Do Without Me. It is off his new album, which is his seventh solo album altogether, and he is from Fleet Foxes. He was the drummer, and this is sort of his next step after quitting the band. And then you heard from Johnny DeCourcy, who was on the show last week and who is playing tonight at the Railway Club, and you should all go to that because he's excellent, and he's going to play new songs, I think. I think. So if he doesn't, don't tell him I said that. Anyway, I thought that I would play another song, or two songs, from a band that I saw live this week on Wednesday, which was highly disappointing. Everyone seemed to like it there, but I went and saw Animal Collective at Malkin Bowl, and it was one of those bands that, like, I never thought I'd ever see, ever, and then I heard they were coming, and bought pre-sale for $55 and was excited about it for 3 months. And then they go on and I don't know what 25 Animal Collective songs I've been listening to for the last 3 years, but none of them were the ones that they played. And they sat most of the time and it was just really, oh, fuck. Sorry. It was apathetic electronic music. I said it there. I don't know. Just didn't feel good about it afterward. But the opening band was excellent. Mikachu and the Shapes. And I tried to find a track that I could play that really does them justice, but none of their recordings do. So you're going to have to YouTube them live because their drummer is literally one of the best. No, maybe the best drummer I've ever seen live. You can watch him and you can see all the, like, the gears turning in his head when he drums, and he's insane. Again, on the recorded tracks, not really the same. So now I'm going to play a song by Animal Collective, which they didn't play that night, but it's my favorite Animal Collective song, and it's one of my favorite songs of all time. And when I was in the last show I played with my band that I was in for like a year and a half, 2 years, last song, or the last set that we played, we opened with this song as a cover, and it was one of those things like where you look around during the song and everyone's sort of smiling to themselves because no one can believe that, like, you're making this sound. Yeah, it was one of those really special band moments when we played this, and little did we know it'd be our last show and we'd hate each other after it, but it went really well, and it's one of my favorite songs. And it's called Did You See the Words? And it's by Animal Collective, and it's off the album Feels. And then following that, I'm going to play the only Mikachu and the Shape song that I could find on Groove Shark. Not that I play off Groove Shark. Okay, so here we go. It's called Did You See the Words? And also, later in the show, I'll play a Vampire Weekend track and tell you about their new album, because I went and saw Bayo during Olio Festival. Chris Bayo, he's the bass player, and he told me some exciting news. So here we go. Love you lots. Bye. Kidding, that was not anything. Ignore that. Off to a really excellent start this morning.
is maybe not.
Yeah.
is Mikachu and the Shapes, and a few attempts at Animal Collective, and then I finally actually got it to work. yay. So now, I'm going to play a Vampire Weekend song called Ottoman, which is synonymous with fall for me because I went to visit Toronto. I'm from there, and it's basically all I listened to the whole time I was there with my best friends in the world. So this one's for you guys. Also, exciting news about Vampire Weekend. I interviewed them when I was 14, and then... it was really awkward. It was like a 40-minute interview, and like, I was like, oh, I'm going to make it conversational and not bring a cue card. And it just didn't go great. But I saw Theo, who's in the band, who just came out with a new electronic album. He, and it's not stupid, it's good. And he played for Olio Festival at the Library Square this week. And I went and saw him, and we had a nice little catch-up chat. And apparently I wasn't as bad as I thought I was, but I think he was just being nice. Anyway, the new Vampire Weekend album is set to come out sooner rather than later. Okay, cool. That was the exact quote I got. Sooner rather than later. Bank on it. Okay. So this song is called Ottoman, and later up, sorry, this fucking chair. later on in the show, I'm going to play my interview with Father John Misty or Jade Tillman of Father John Misty and Fleet Foxes about his new album, which is phenomenal, which is better, in my opinion, than the last Fleet Foxes album. Yeah, it's sweet, and I'll play more tracks off that. But in the meantime, here is Ottoman on Sup World Radio with your host, me, Allie Haberstroh. Bye. This is the worst day of my life. Nothing is working. I'm just gonna talk and keep clicking things until something plays. God damn it. This is like the one show that people might actually be listening to, and I'm screwing the pooch constantly. This is so embarrassing. Okay, well, you know what? I don't even wanna play Vampire Weekend anymore. Don't even wanna play it. Actually, I do. It's gonna work. Hold on. There we go. Okay, only professionalism at Sup World Radio. Thanks for listening.
end. All of the time it took, soon it's all lines of red in a leather book. Begging you to wait for a minute by the door. Your creeping feet where they've never been before.
Up next on this comedy of errors that has become Subworld, I'm going to play my interview with the great Jay Tillman. Me and my cousin Ian, who is my partner in crime on these things, went to venue to interview him on Saturday. And his show was absolutely excellent. And we met him in the alley beforehand, and this has happened before where the person I'm interviewing will meet me and look at me and decide that I'm probably going to give a terrible interview. And so it started off really rough, and like when we interviewed Youth Lagoon, he wanted to go to the beach and like walk around and have like a nice talk with us beforehand, and we suggested the same to Jay Tillman. We were like, oh, do you want to go to the interview in a park, a 5 minute or like a 2 second walk away? And he was like, no, I want to do this pretty quick, like inside. And I was like, okay, well, this is gonna go great. And I've been researching this interview for like a month, and I've been super excited about it. And it started, the first question starts off rocky, and he answers it very sarcastically and then puts the question on me. But luckily, I answered it with enough knowledge that things changed. And it ended up being one of maybe the best interview I've ever done. Thanks to the very intelligent and charming and awesome Josh Tillman. So, here we go. Hopefully this works. Just kidding, it'll work. I'm a real professional. I know exactly what I'm doing, and this show has just gone more smoothly than I ever could have hoped for. So I'm going to start off by playing a song by the band Father John Misty off the album Fear Fun, which you should all buy, especially on vinyl, because the liner notes include a novel that he wrote in like size 2 font. There's an entire novel in there, so you really get bang for your buck. And I bought it from Neptune the day of the show because I couldn't find it for 2 weeks before, but I ordered one from Red Cat, and it's in today. So if anyone wants to go get my copy of Fear Fun from Red Cat, feel free to do so. Okay, well, here we go. Thank you for listening, and here is a song called Now I'm Learning to Love the War by Father John Misty off his album Fear Fun, and following that will be my interview. So, bye.
Thank you. so much about the truly staggering amount of oil that it takes to make a record. All the shipping, the vinyl, the cellophane lining, tape and the gear. Try not to become too consumed with what's a criminal volume of oil that it takes to paint a portrait. Acrylic, the varnish, aluminum tubes filled with latex, the solvents and dye. Oh, 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 let's just call this what it is. The jealous side of mankind.
With that gentleman who wrote and sung that song. It's called, well, the song is called Now I'm Learning to Love the War, and off the album Fear Fun by Father John Misty. And my friend Emma just sent me a text saying lol at your voice, so I don't like you as much anymore, and you can tune out. Just kidding, love you lots. Here is here is my interview with Father John Misty when he was in Vancouver for his show. That was cool. Okay, here we go. So, Jay, till then, Josh.
Yes.
How is Fear Fun different from your previous 7 albums?
Well, it has different songs entirely than any of the songs on the other albums. And the album cover is different.
Sweet.
very different than the others. And the name is different.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's, you're the journalist. You tell me. You tell me how
okay.
it's different.
I find that from...
And I'll tell you whether you're right or wrong.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, welcome to my world.
And, yeah, I'm sorry. I found that it was, like, not so much a departure from your old stuff, but, like,
mm-hmm.
an emancipation, if you will.
Okay.
Totally
okay.
different.
I like this.
Okay. And,
drawing a distinction between an emancipation and a departure.
I find it totally different.
Departure is just one of those words, for some reason, it's like music writers use the word trafficking a lot.
Yeah.
Like nobody else does.
No.
Like,
or
like
no
saying
one says
like,
that verbally.
He
either.
Traffics in slowcore, you know, whatever.
Insert
yeah.
wordy words.
Departure. Yeah, I mean, but I'm okay. I'm okay with the word departure. I think that departure is probably innate to any classical emancipation.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's different. It's funnier. It's livelier.
Right.
You know, it's a little right. more. It's a more fun listen.
It is a fun listen.
But I also was like less beholden. Usually when I would make albums before, I would start with kind of an overriding concept as far as like what the instrumentation was going to be, what the, you know, they were all very like conceptual, and I didn't set out to make a conceptual album this time, but I think I may have ended up making like maybe my most conceptual album.
Right.
So I don't know.
Did you set out to make any type of album in particular, or
I knew that the only like real unifying component would be the lyrics, like or like the narrative voice,
right.
or which is me, you know. As such, I was kind of free to reconcile like seemingly pretty disparate styles of music.
Right.
Like there's real like really some really honky tonk stuff on there that doesn't. It's like, well, how is this supposed to sit on an album that also has like rock shit and like some kind of schmaltzy American songbook kind of shit? But it's all just very like American DNA,
yeah,
musical style. Yeah, in some ways, it's like a very like aesthetically a very traditional album.
Yeah,
you know.
Going on that, I don't want to make comparisons to sound.
Oh, that's okay.
But
but I will.
No, I won't.
No,
I swear.
Okay.
I swear I would.
That's
do
fine because people always say that before they do.
No,
before they do it.
I'm
it's like
pure
ideology.
Talking about spirit,
yeah.
not sound.
Okay.
You mentioned the Rolling Stones in the album
yeah.
a few times.
Yeah.
And do you sort of find that I don't know? They were very. They're a band that when you think of, it's very much about showmanship and a front man and very much classic sort of.
Yeah.
Like, they put on a show and they
entertain. Yeah, they're like an... The reason I brought them up in that song, or why I thought that was, an evocative image, is because they are, like, a... You know, they're a band that I like, but...
Right.
But they kind of represent, like, all... Like, the entire rock music
right.
canon. You know, like, the entire... They're a good symbol for like rock music, the rock mythology, the archetypes therein, in general. Yeah, so I thought it was fun to just kind of
yeah.
like flippantly throw them out there. Yeah.
What I think is cool is that like that sort of rock that you're describing, I haven't really heard on an album recently or
right.
like
it's
recently
very
at all.
Uncool. Yeah.
Yeah, but for you, you're totally bringing it back.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because people kind of do this for some reason when discussing like the musical zeitgeist or the culture or something like it's all broken up into decades
yeah.
in this very like didactic way and you know I don't really see I mean the Rolling Stones was you know like 34. I mean, they're still playing, but their heyday was not that long ago.
No, you know? You're so right.
I mean, like, it really, in terms of, like, looking at time in a less, like, you know, I mean, the Ottoman Empire was a long time ago.
That was, yeah, that, like, was a long time ago.
Rock and roll.
40 years was not that long ago.
And so, you know, there, there are, you know, and I mean, there's maybe the same amount of time between us and the Rolling Stones as there was between, like, the blues music that they were and the Rolling Stones. So I don't, you know, I just see that there's this, like, this continuity running through. And like, the music industry has made it so that things have to change at a much quicker pace in order to keep up with, in order to get people to keep buying shit. And so all these, like, kind of fads and trends and whatever get manufactured and considered and thrown out and brought back after an appropriate amount of time. And I don't really see myself having much to do with that. I'm more interested in, like the most elegant kind of, like, what's the most simple, like, effective, elegant, like, style, a way to express, like, the American music thing. And that's,
and it really stands tried and true.
Yeah, it does. Like,
it has longevity.
It resonates in a way. It's not a fad.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's like an American language. It's like language. You know,
yeah,
it's like a common language that for whatever reason, like, anybody that hears it is just like, oh, I know this. And that's kind of why I, on certain songs, like writing a novel, for instance, has this really tropey, like, it's like a 1-4-5 thing, and it's like, I'm not putting on any airs that I fucking invented that or wrote it or whatever. I just took it, you know.
But in, like, 15 years, I think that I'd be more inclined to listen to something like that than something electronic, or
because it doesn't require as much context.
Like,
it doesn't require as much, like, having been there-ness, because it's still happening.
Yeah.
You know, like, certain styles of music that just come and go. Yeah, you had to be there for that, because they go, because it goes away.
You don't have to be
because
there.
It's reactionary.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's reactionary to something that happened 6 months before it. But yeah, I like old things, you know?
Yeah. Okay. In the novel included, in the liner notes, there is a quote that says, most people have taken the angle in life of putting what they'd like to do in direct opposition to what they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
How have you avoided that?
Well, I haven't in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, like,
that was the follow-up question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really being preachy. That's more a reflection on, like, a cultural value. I think that that's, like, a collective cultural value, is this idea that, most people, whether they know it or not, they intrinsically perceive their value as, like, their, like, whatever the commodity price of their ability to perform labor is. And that, that infects a lot of the way that one perceives what they should or shouldn't do with their time. And that's kind of mostly what I'm talking about there, is the fact that what you would like to do, you know, doesn't enter the equation for in most people's life. And in terms of, like, they only think about what they would like to do in terms of, like, a profession or like a viable, you know, something like that, like, which is real tyranny, you know, because then if you're not successful doing it,
it's not a lot
it
left.
It totally fucks with your ability to enjoy it, like, in itself as opposed to for itself kind of way.
Yeah, and when I was doing research for the interview, there was another interview that you did where you said that at a certain point, you didn't find writing music sort of cathartic or enjoyable. Do you find that value sort of changed now with Father John Misty?
Yeah, I and that really kind of what I was just talking, like, that's a good example, that really speaks to that thing where I think that at some point I got so twisted, really twisted up as far as, like, why I made music, like, I really internalized the fact that I wasn't successful as some kind of, like, while I knew in my mind, like, while I knew on some level that one's success at doing something is never, is always, like, maybe the worst metric for measuring how, the value of the thing itself, but I'm still susceptible to that kind of thing, and,
you guys ready?
The novel writing process was a way to reclaim the creative process for myself. Like, I lost wrapped up in that, and I had no self worth wrapped up in it. Like, whether the book was good or not, just didn't really enter the equation. And I think that was maybe that was definitely the catalyst for re-examining writing music, stop writing music for the world or something, or stop writing music in reaction to the world or something, or in reaction to, I mean, for a long time, I was very interested in just kind of making something that I knew people, that it would be hard for people to take, and then lamenting the injustice of them not getting it, you know, and that, which is just pure narcissism, but I, you know, I was getting morbid thrills out of that, but that got old, you know, really old, and the book just helped me kind of discover that my conversational voice is the only voice worth implementing in my music.
Well, I think that a lot of the time, when we saw you guys, when you opened for Youth Agoon, you'd say a line in a song, people around us would giggle, but they were also it was also obvious everyone was sort of taking in what you were saying at
right.
the same time.
Yeah.
And you're making some pretty serious comments and, social stigmas and
yeah.
all that sort of thing.
I think that that's... I mean, laughter plays such a... You know, no one is funny and everyone is walking around laughing like hyenas, everywhere you go. And, laughter is this, tension-breaking tick that we've all, this nervous tick that we've collectively developed. And it's funny, sometimes, because I take note of the parts in songs where people laugh, and...
I don't know if it's a nervous tick.
No, I mean, I would, I hope... Well, no, I think it is a nervous tick in that, when you say something
that's
that is,
real.
Explicitly honest or something, there is, it's there really is, very little place for that. Even if you listen to the... Even if you listen to the way that people talk to each other in these really these kind of stock conversations that are so how are things going? And good, really, really busy, really busy, but it's good. And everyone just walks around kind of not saying any, hedging their bets, with everything they say, I'm sorry. That's okay. You don't have to say you're sorry. You know, we're all just walking around hedging our bets and providing polite little buffers, and you don't hear people laughing nervously during conversations like that. You hear people laughing nervously when someone says something that there is no built-in response to, and people fill that vacuum with laughter. But I do think that I mean I will be the first to acknowledge that there are some funny ass lyrics on that album, and I enjoy when people the joylessness of music currently, and the vapid automatic Boggle style school of lyric writing,
kind of Mad Libs now.
You make it so easy, you left me hanging around. I call it the school of you're a bad friend lyric writing. If you listened to current music, just examined it lyrically, you would be left with the impression that no one that's making music has any good friends, and that they are just betrayed and victimized at every turn. And I think a lot of people want to be perceived that way for some reason. People want to be noticed, like, not because they're like, look at me, I can spin a basketball, I can throw a fight. You know, like,
which
like
is cool.
They want to be looked at in this, like, look at me, no one likes me. That's what I can do, you know?
Yeah.
And some of that showmanship that you're talking about, the show, it's like, there's something just more honest. It's like, dude, you're on a stage with a microphone in front of you, and you're performing. Like, no one is fooled here.
No,
like, you
totally.
Booked this tour, you got on stage, like,
people paid money,
got
to see
here
you.
To do, like, put on a show. That feels like the most honest thing that I can do. You
when
know,
it's obvious they've gotten great reception and people there to see them, but.
Right. I felt stupid after a while. I was just like, this is untenable. Like, there's no honesty in this.
No,
like,
I think
I'm getting
great.
Up on stage and get this, like, alter ego, this, like...
Well, there's no apathy in your show, which I think
right.
is
apathy.
Unique to now.
I'm so tired of that.
It's a real big issue now.
So indifferent towards apathy.
So apathetic towards apathy.
So over it.
Okay, final question. In one of your songs, you say, I sure hope they make something useful out of me.
Mm-hmm.
In the opening of that song, you sort of talk about vinyl and the permanency of vinyl.
Yeah.
There's a company that will press your ashes into vinyl once you die.
There is?
Yeah, dude. It's real.
That's amazing.
You get an A side and a B side.
I'm just gonna like. I'm gonna make a record. It will just be me saying "fuck you,"
and
that's
B-side,
all it'll be on the record. Yeah,
that was my question.
And the B side will be "I love you." Fuck
oh,
you on one
that's
side.
Wonderful.
I love you on the other side. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'm gonna like send it into space.
Yeah, you can also do that. That's also.
That's
thing.
Great. That's a very like that literalization of that lyric is really fun. That's great.
Oh,
thank you for telling me that.
Oh, you're welcome. I thought you'd be very interested in that.
Can I get you guys not moving?
Oh, yeah, I'm a fan.
Should we pose, like, really stark?
You can pose if you like.
Like this?
Wait, let's look at
ready?
Lovely.
Did we both just put our
middle
fingers
cool,
up,
right?
Like, totally spontaneously? Did you see me do that?
Yeah, I saw.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. No.
All right.
Dude.
Yay. That's it. That's all. With the lovely Jay Tillman. Fleet Foxes no longer. And Father John Misty. What a nice guy. Guess I should play an ad, and then I'll play more Father John Misty. And then it's the morning after show. More great programming on CITR. So, yeah. I guess I should say, like, follow us on Twitter and all that kind of thing. So if you want to do that, you can. And by us, I mean me. I don't know who us is. I think it's Supworld Radio at Twitter. I'm really bad at this, obviously. The next song I'll play is also by Father John Misty. And the video for this stars Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec, and it's really cool. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to play it out with them. And next week on the show, it's an art show with Amanda Jering, who it's art and music and art. So Amanda Jering is an artist from Emily Carr, and she's putting on a festival in November where bands also display the art that they make, and you can go to the show and listen to the band and see their art, which is cool. Aaron Reed is on the show. He is also a musician who's been on the show, but he also is an artist as well and does album art, etc. And Tyler McMillan will also be on the show. He requested I don't call him Tyler anymore, but whatever. And he did the album art for Weed and is also an artist. Okay, this song is called Hollywood Forever. Cemetery Sings, and following that will be Writing a Novel by Father John Misty, who you just heard my interview with. Until next time, friends, see you.
Show up to one of several.